Okay, now we want to replace the two sums with a single sum over k. So let's do first an example. Let's g of n to be a generic function, and let's imagine n is equal to 2. So we have 3 points. So we do the summation explicitly. So at the beginning of page 5, we first do the summation over m. So the summation over m, of course, we should, m can be 0, 1, and 2. So we get 3 terms, g of n, g of n minus 1, g of n minus 2. Then we do the summation over n, small n, which goes again from 0 and 2. And for each n, we get 3 terms, which are written below. And you see the structure. You get g0, g minus 1, g minus 2, g1, g0, g minus 1, g2, g1, g0. So we sum all terms, and we get 3g0. Then we get 2g1 and 2g minus 1. And we get 1g2 and 1g minus 2. And if you imagine it's the three lines are something like a matrix, you see that g0 are the terms on the diagonal, and so they are n plus 1, the number of terms. G1 and g minus 1 are the terms which are on the next diagonal lines, and of course there is one less. G minus 2 is farther away, again by 1, and so there is one less. So it's easy to generalize, to understand how to generalize this expression from a number of points which corresponds to n, to capital N equal to 2, to generic values of capital N, which is at the beginning of page 6. And of course, g0 are the terms on the diagonal, so we have n plus 1 of them. Then g1 and g minus 1, we have one term less, so we only have n of them. G2 and g minus 2, we have n minus 1. And this keep decreasing up to g of capital N and g of minus capital N, which appears only once. So the top of page 6, we have the generalization of the expression we have obtained for capital N equal 2. And then we can write this expression in a compact way. It's done in the second expression at page 6. So we have n plus 1 of g0. We write it separately. And then we have terms which contain g of k and g minus k. And how many are them? We have something which is of order n plus 1 minus k. N plus 1 minus k. If k increases by 1, the number decreases by 1. So this explains why we have n plus 1 minus k. And you can easily realize that this is the correct expression. If you put k equal 1, you get n plus 1 minus 1. You have n terms. If you put k equal 2, you have n plus 1 minus 2. So n minus 1, and so on. And if you set k equal capital N, of course, you get only one term, exactly as written above. And of course, the sum goes from k equal 1 to k equal capital N. We can thus use this formula to simplify the expression for the error with an additional simplification that the autocorrelation function is a function of the absolute value of n minus m. So in this language, cf of k is equal to cf of minus k. So the term gk plus g minus k is equal to 2gk. So there is a 2, which is now in front of the summation, and then we only have cf of k. And here we used that cf of k is a symmetric function. Cf of k is equal to cf of minus k. So now we have this long expression, which is in the third line, and now we rewrite in a way which shows which are the terms of order 1 over n and the terms which are of order 1 over n squared. So the first term, the CF0, we can simplify the n plus 1 with the denominator n plus 1 squared, and so we get 1 over n plus 1 C0. Then in the summation, we separate two terms. There is one term which is n plus 1 CF of k, and for this term, we can simplify the n plus 1 with the n plus 1 squared in the denominator. And then we have another term, which is minus k CF of k, which, of course, we cannot simplify the denominator, and it is of order 1 over n plus 1 squared. So in this way, we get the expression, which is at the end of page 6. Now we want to discuss separately the first summation, which is inside the square bracket, and the second term. And here there is an important result, which tells you that the CF of k decays exponentially as k goes to infinity. This is not true, not strictly true, at continuous phase transitions, but we won't discuss continuous phase transitions. They are singular points in the phase diagram of many systems. So we're just discussing the behavior of CF of k at standard points in their phase diagram. And so in all these cases, CF of k decays exponentially. The proof is in the supplementary material, which is, of course, something that you may wish to read. It's, of course, not necessary. It's just for those of you who are curious to understand how this is proved. And if you look at that proof, of course, you should be careful to read before the notes, the supplementary notes on the bias, because we use the same notations and some of the results which are proved in that supplementary material. So if you look at the supplementary material on the autocorrelation function, you should first read and understand the supplementary material on the bias. But the main result, which is proved there, is that the autocorrelation function is an exponentially decreases function of k. So this tells us two things. First, that the summation, which appears in the square bracket, can be extended to infinity. So the summation from 1 to capital N can be rewritten as a summation from 1 to infinity, adding something which is exponentially small. It's a correction which is exponentially small as the number of iteration capital N goes to infinity. So we are adding something very, very small if capital N is large. The second observation is that the sum of k multiplied by CF of k is a finite number when the number of iterations goes to infinity. You are summing k times an exponentially decreasing function, so of course the exponential kills everything for large k, so the summation is finite. And so this term is of order 1 over n squared, and so we can disregard it if we are only interested in computing the leading part of the error, which decreases as 1 over n. So at the end, we have obtained our expression for the error. So the square of the error is 1 over n plus 1. As usual, there is a prefactor, which is 1 over the number of measurement, the number of measurement which are included in our sample mean. And then we have a term in the square bracket, which is CF of 0, the autocorrelation at time equals 0, time plus 2, the summation of the autocorrelation function from 1 to infinity. There are two important observations. First, CF of 0, so the autocorrelation function at time equals 0, is nothing but the variance with respect to pi. So let's prove it. So CF x0 is defined here. So is the sum over x of Pn x0x multiplied by f of x minus capital F square, and then we should average over the starting configurations with probability pi, because we are computing the autocorrelation function in equilibrium. Remember that CF0 is the variance only if we start in equilibrium. So we average the distribution with respect to pi x0. It doesn't depend, it's time translation invariant, so we can take C of f for any small n, at any time t equal n. It doesn't depend on that, as long as we take Cf of n and n, the same time for the two entries. Doesn't depend on that, because we know here it's essentially repeated. I have essentially repeated the proof that I already done. In principle, you already know that the distribution at time n is pi over x, but here I have repeated the calculation just to show how it works. So effectively, Cf of 0 is the distribution of, is the average value of f of x minus capital F square with respect to the distribution pi, which is the variance of pi, which is the variance of f with respect to pi. So Cf of 0 is the variance of our f with respect to pi. The second observation is that this formula is the usual one for uncorrelated data, because uncorrelated data means the following. It's written here. This is a property that we used when we did the derivations of the variances for uncorrelated data, that when we compute the average of f of xn, f of xm, with respect to the Monte Carlo repetitions for n different from m, it simply factorizes. And we said this is a crucial property of uncorrelated data. If this property is not correct, our formula in the uncorrelated case are not correct, and indeed, you see it here that they are not correct, because if the data are correlated, we should take into account the autocorrelation function. So if data are uncorrelated, this average value factorizes, and if it factorizes, it's trivial to see that the autocorrelation function vanishes. So for uncorrelated data, the autocorrelation function is zero as long as n is different from m. So for autocorrelated data, all the contributions of the autocorrelation function disappears. So we obtain sigma squared equal 1 divided by n plus 1 times the autocorrelation function at time equals 0. But we proved that this autocorrelation function is the variance, and then we have reobtained our old formula. The error is the variance with respect to pi of the function f divided by n plus 1. So here we have reobtained the expression that we had derived for uncorrelated data. Finally, let's define the autocorrelation time. So we define an integrated autocorrelation time. This is defined in this way. Tau is usually called tau int. It's 1/2 plus the sum with respect to k that goes from 1 to infinity of the ratio of Cf of k divided by Cf of 0. And with this definition, the error is a Cf 0 divided by n plus 1 multiplied by 2 tau int f. What is the meaning of the integrated autocorrelation time? Essentially, the factor 2 times the integrated autocorrelation times tells you how many iterations are needed to decorrelate the system. So in practice, if you do a number of iterations, which is capital N, the number of effectively independent configuration is only N plus 1 divided by twice the autocorrelation time. So it tells you how often it's needed, how many really independent configurations you got in your system. Why this definition? Why there is this factor of 2? And we can understand quite easily from this very simple example. Suppose that our autocorrelation function has this behavior, is the variance multiplied by a simple exponential, which decreases as exponential of minus k over tau, where tau is a typical length scale. So if this is the definition, this is the result for the autocorrelation function, then we can do the sum using the geometric series. Remember that 1 minus x to the power minus 1 is simply the sum of xn. This is the so-called geometric series. So if we use the geometric series, we can perform the summation over k. The summation over k starts from 1. We subtract minus 1 and add plus 1 so that the summation goes from 0 to infinity. And then we use the geometric series formula that allows us to resum the series. And then we have an explicit expression for the autocorrelation time. Now imagine that tau is not small, tau is some big number, so that 1 over tau is a small number, and we can expand the exponential of minus 1 over tau, and it becomes simply 1 minus 1 over tau. We do the summation, and we get tau minus 1 half, but again, tau is large, and so we see that with this definition, tau is approximately the integrated autocorrelation time. The tau, which is defined here, is called the exponential autocorrelation time. And again, if you look at the proof that is given in the supplementary material, this tau is directly related to the second largest eigenvalue of the transition matrix. So this is the reason why we have this definition. We have this definition in order to guarantee that the integrated autocorrelation time is of the order of the exponential autocorrelation time, which is defined by the exponential decrease of the Markov chain for large times. The second observation is that if we have uncorrelated data, of course, CF of k is 0 for k larger or equal to 1, and so for uncorrelated data, the integrated autocorrelation time is simply 1 half, which means that, of course, if you have n plus 1 data, you have n plus 1 uncorrelated data.